is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. I hope you're having fun with me this week with the book of James. I hope it's coming as a complete surprise to you, and I hope it's a delight. It may also be a great challenge to you. I'd like to just say again that if you're allowing me to do all the work for you, you're really missing the point. These little meditations morning by morning are designed, and I'm really praying that God will use them to stimulate you to get into the Scriptures for yourself. May I say, don't ever take it on my say-so. Don't ever take it on anybody's say-so. But you go and check it out for yourself. If I've said something that challenges you or blesses you or something that you don't think is quite right, you go and check it out for yourself. You could do nothing better this week than to read through the book of James every day. It's brief. It's only 5 chapters. You could read it through before breakfast without even hardly missing any sleep by getting up a few minutes early. And let this Word of God get into your mind and heart and inform your attitudes. And then if I'm sort of just touching upon some themes, God has already been speaking to you about those things. I need to be saying this all the time to our folks. It's so easy to let somebody else, you know, dish it out, spoon-feed us, so to speak. And we really miss the whole point of that. God has raised up teachers in His church, to be sure. But they're to equip us to go and really dig into that Word for ourselves. That's the purpose of it, not to do all the work for us. So I hope that this is a challenge and at the same time a blessing to you. And I hope that the book of James is turning out to be a surprise and a delight. Most people have completely misunderstood this book if they've bothered to read it at all. And I know of any number of churches that would call themselves Bible-believing churches that never even pay any attention to the book of James at all. They don't even open it. Great tragedy there. We make the first mistake. We assume that James is talking about something totally different from the rest of the New Testament. That whereas Paul, for instance, is talking about grace and the gift of God and salvation coming through His mercy, that James is talking about our earning it. Nothing could be further from the truth. James isn't talking about earning salvation. He's talking about expressing. He's saying exactly the same thing that Paul is saying. He's saying it in a slightly different context. He's dealing with a different set of issues. But he's not talking about earning our salvation. He's talking about expressing it. We're going to push on this morning into the passage in which he deals with that head on. But secondly, people take this book as some kind of a mandate for social action or for political action. It's not that either. There's nothing wrong with social action, mind you. There's nothing wrong with getting involved in the political process, and in fact, it would be a jolly good thing if more of us did so. But that's not primarily what James is talking about. He's not talking about changing the outside world. He's talking about working out this salvation that God has given us within the framework of relationships within the body of Christ. That's what we saw yesterday. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And people love to quote that and say, he's not talking about love fellow Christians. He's talking about loving people out there in the outside world. Well, it just doesn't wash. You go back and check out the passage that he's quoting in Leviticus 19, and in that passage, it's very clear that the word neighbor is a synonym for the word brother, a member of the household of God. So there may be implications for the outside world, but it deals primarily, first and foremost, with our internal relationships within the body of Christ. So pull all that together. Where have we come thus far? That faith which is not active in expressing itself in works of love and in works of manifesting the character of God is no faith at all. And the place that is primarily to be happening is in relationship to our fellow Christian. That's where we've come so far. Chapter 2 and verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. James says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. James does not say, I will show you my works apart from faith. He's not interested in it. He says, by my works, I will show you my faith. It's not works versus faith. It's works as an expression of faith. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well. In other words, that's true. You're absolutely right. God is one. That's a valid belief. You're on the right track. But then he adds, even the demons believe and shudder. Do you understand that it's possible to have right doctrine and go to hell? Do you know that? That's a shocking statement. There are demons who have perfectly right doctrine and are absolutely committed to the prince of demons, the devil of hell. They know that there is one God. They know that Jesus is his son. They know that Jesus is Lord of all the universe. It wasn't it consistently the demons who recognized him in his earthly ministry long before human beings did? And they feared him. And they said, have you come to cast us into the abyss before our time? They know that he's Lord. They do not willingly submit. They have no reverence for him, but they know who he is. Their doctrine is absolutely correct. Their heart is wrong. Their doctrine is correct. That's a chilling thought, isn't it? James's message to us is that you may have right doctrine, and if it doesn't make any difference in your life, it's absolutely demonic. If it doesn't affect the way you live, it's absolutely demonic. Verse 20, do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works, and the scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What's interesting is that Paul uses exactly the same example in the book of Romans to demonstrate that it was Abraham's faith that justified him and that it was reckoned to him as righteousness apart from the law in Romans 4. James does not disagree with that, but he says that Abraham's faith was manifested in his willingness to sacrifice Isaac. By implication, apart from that willingness, there would be no faith. Verse 22, faith was completed by works. Faith which doesn't change anything is no faith. So what are we talking about? Well, he said it earlier. We looked at it last week back in chapter 1. If you think you're religious, verse 26, and you don't control what comes out of your mouth, your religion is empty. If you think you're a Christian, and you're in love, and you worship God, you're in love with him, and you want to honor him, and it doesn't involve how you relate to his kids, it's empty. You don't care for the needy, it's empty. You don't care for the widows and the fatherless and their affliction, it's empty. You allow yourself to look just like anybody else in the world, it's empty. Your faith is no faith if it doesn't make a difference in how you live. I'm skipping verse 24 because we already dealt with it. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. I'm not talking about works alone. He's talking about works as an expression of faith. And so he gives us another example, and it's even more shocking. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? You remember, she hid the spies that Joshua sent in to check out the promised land. The men of the city heard, they realized they were in town, they came looking for them, and Rahab hid them. And she was spared and she was honored when the city was devastated, the city of Jericho. Was she justified by faith or by works? Well, it was by faith. She knew these were messengers from God. She knew that God was with them. She knew which way the wind was blowing, and she wanted to blow with it. But she was justified by works, because her faith became active in what she did. That's the message in a nutshell. You say you believe God is one. You do well. What difference does it make? How are you living? How are you living? Do you know churches up and down this country are filled with people who name the name of Jesus and live just like anybody else? I can't tell you how many people I've known who love God, love the fellowship, love gathering with His people, love singing the hymns, love praying the prayers, love hearing His word, and are living in adultery, are living in fornication, in some immoral relationship, are living in homosexuality, are living in the midst of business practices that are a stench in the nostrils of God, are living in the midst of broken relationships within the body of Christ. There are members of the body of Christ who come forward to receive the same communion elements and kneel at the same communion rail, and they're not on speaking terms with each other. They've done nothing to try to repair that broken relationship. There are people who are cultivating bitterness in their hearts towards somebody who has wounded or offended them. Hey, you know what? Somebody can be 100% wrong and you can be 100% right. Which isn't likely. But theoretically, somebody can be 100% wrong and you're 100% right. And you know what? If you bear a grudge in your heart toward that person and you cultivate bitterness rather than forgiveness, you're 100% wrong. Did you know that? You check out Matthew chapter 18 and see what Jesus has to say on the subject. Read it all the way to the end. You're going to be shocked by the time you get there. You check it out. Faith, which makes no difference in how we live, is no faith. We go along thinking we're in love with God and living in the midst of sin, and it is a counterfeit faith. And that's the inside story.